shows. Everybody wake up. Women put on your makeup. Fellas drinking coffee so you can stay up. It's the Dougie Show, so yeah. It's the Dougie Show. It's your number one radio.
You're listening to the Waking Up Late with Dougie Show with your host, Dougie Almeida. Recorded live on tape at Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. Now here's Dougie Almeida.
What's up, everybody? Good morning and welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm Dougie Almeida, of course, your host, along with my co-host today, Lenny Travis.
Yeah.
And this is the WEI Network and, of course, IRN Internet Radio Network. We come to you Tuesday through Thursday with all new shows from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. This ain't no pussy podcast. And, of course, exclusively on IRN. Sound like Rich Voss. Exclusively on IRN on Mondays, Encore Mondays, where we bring the most listened to show from the week before based on your votes at wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com. And, of course, the best of all time on Fridays on IRN, where we pull from our archive site at wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean and pull the best shows from over the last 3 or 4 years of shows.
That's a lot of shows.
That's right. As of today, we have not heard back yet from CBS Radio of whether or not Lenny and I may be some of the new local talent in the South Florida terrestrial radio scene.
Yeah, you know, you take a shot.
You know?
I mean, you know, they were looking for country music hosts.
I know. It was kind of funny. We did one segment intro. We're like, hi, this is Dougie Almeida and Lenny Travis.
Absolutely. And this next song is from the Cousin Fuckers.
That's right. It ain't your cousin if you ain't fucking her. By the way, I got to tell you, on Tuesday night, I went with Steve Marshall down to Orlando to be on a kosher comedy show.
How was that? Was it kosher?
It was kosher. It was awesome. I performed in front of 250-300 Hasidic Jews.
Wow, they had the beards?
They had the beards, the curly cue things hanging down, kids all over the place.
Yeah, the little rigatoni?
Yeah. There was a rabbi present, and had a great time. I was nervous because I had to do 15 minutes clean, and I ended up doing 25, and I killed.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did Steve Marshall kill?
Yeah, he did great. Yeah, they loved him. So.
Did he also work totally clean?
Yeah, he had to. There was no choice. They had said that, I guess, the comedian that they had there last year, the guy was really funny, but he ended up doing a Viagra joke.
They didn't like that?
No.
You should have said, did you hear about the greedy Moyle? He kept the tips. And a Moyle is the guy who cuts a little kid's penis.
Yeah.
And then the tip would be the double entendre of the penis.
I mean, I didn't do my dick jokes. I couldn't do, you know, my race. Although, the biggest laugh I got was when I said, somebody asked me if I'm racist. I can't be racist. I'm involved in an interracial relationship. My girlfriend is married to a black guy.
That's funny.
Yeah, they laughed hysterically. And, of course, I think the next best joke is they really loved, as you could imagine, my suicide bomber joke.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I got an applause break.
Nice.
You know? So, great time there, and again,
Steve Marshall flew in just for the one gig?
No, he actually has a few of these gigs. Thursday. He was in the Bahamas on Tuesday night, and then he's doing one in Palm Beach, all kosher comedy shows kind of thing at these Passover events.
How about that?
Yeah. So,
one of my friends was in town doing a kosher event at the Westin Hotel in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, yeah?
And he put on Facebook, he put up a picture, and he's on stage, and the whole room is lit, so there's no lighting, and there are little kids in the very first row.
Yeah, like my show, same thing.
There were little kids?
Oh, they do. Yeah, they love my caca joke.
Yeah. Caca!
By the way, I guess they were talking about your friend on the way to up there, because he worked at Bonaventure, right?
Was it John Mulroney?
Was that who was working there?
I don't know. That's my friend who's down here.
Oh, I thought they were talking about somebody else that they just hired for Bonaventure.
And, what's Bonaventure? A hotel down here?
Yeah, out in Weston. You know, out there in West, Broward.
Right.
Yeah, they're supposed to get some good pay because it's a big show, you know?
Yeah, my friend, there's this guy, Avi Lieberman, and he used to bring comics to Israel. So my friend went there a couple of years ago, and he did so good that he made connections back here. So, like, once a year, he does a bunch of shows for the Hebes. I could say that I'm
Jewish. Yeah, you're part of that tribe.
Yeah, it's like a black guy saying, you know.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I don't know if you heard that that news story about the kid, the black player, black basketball player from Kentucky.
Yeah, what would they say? I didn't hear what he said, but they go, why isn't this guy being suspended? And I didn't even know what he said.
Well, that's the thing. It's you got to ask yourself, because a black player from Kentucky was overheard. Matter of fact, I think I got the story here. I'll pull up. But was overheard mumbling, who gives a fuck about that nigga? But the thing was, he was talking about a white guy.
So, that's interesting.
Yeah, so does it carry as much weight? You know, does it hold as much water? If that's the case, yeah. Kentucky's Andrew Harrison apologizes. Yeah, I'm sorry.
You know, technically, I wasn't talking about a black guy. I don't think that's racist. If you're mentioning that, and the guy's white, yeah, then it's a term of endearment.
Kentucky's Andrew Harrison apologizes for his obscenity slur. Kentucky guard Andrew Harrison apologized Sunday for directing an obscenity and a racial slur at Wisconsin's Frank Kaminsky during a post-game news conference at the Final Four.
Oh, he's good for Kaminsky.
Yeah. Harrison muttered, fuck that nigga, into a live microphone when another player was asked a question about Kaminsky. After Kentucky lost 71-64 to the Badgers.
That was an unbelievable game. Did you see it?
I didn't get to see it, no.
Wisconsin couldn't penetrate. So the entire game, it was like, how is this team going to win? They can't even penetrate these giant guys. And all of a sudden, once in a while, they would get in. But all they could do was pass around the perimeter. They were like, it was like the Jack and the Giant Slayer.
Yeah.
Like you saw these little guys trying to get in through these giants. And then at the end of the game, you go, look at this. Kentucky might lose. And you thought they were going to win even at the very end, and they didn't.
The sophomore comment came as a reporter asked Kentucky's Carl Anthony Towns about defending the 7-foot Kaminsky. He muttered it with his hands in front of his mouth, but the mic picked up the comments. Turn down the gain. Social media immediately lit up with tweets about what Harrison said along with the video clips, and the program looked into the matter. Harrison said in a series of comments on Twitter that he wanted to apologize for my poor choice of words used in a jest towards a player I respect and know.
Did you see the championship on the Monday?
No.
Duke, the two shortest guys on Duke, beat the giant guys on Wisconsin. It was almost comical. You went, am I watching this? These two short dudes on Duke. The Giants couldn't stop them.
Now, I understand there was a controversial call towards the end of the game, which helped Duke win the game.
I don't know how controversial it was. Like, the Wisconsin was up by, like, eight with maybe 8 minutes left, and the other team was just better. You just saw it. I don't think anything would have – one call wasn't going to make a difference in that game.
Right.
It wasn't close in the last 2 minutes.
No. They just poured it on in the end.
Yeah, and Wisconsin didn't score for like 3 minutes and 40 seconds down the stretch. And you're like, well, one call is not going to make a difference if you didn't score in the last three, almost 4 minutes.
Yeah.
With Duke, the short guys on Duke were hitting threes like crazy.
Yeah.
And Duke had four freshmen on Duke scored 60 of the 68 points.
Wow.
And Wisconsin had four seniors. And you could just see, you know, maybe even at that age, these little guys were faster.
All right, by the way, getting back to Harrison, he was quoted as saying, when I realized how this could be perceived, I immediately called Big Frank to apologize and let him know I didn't mean any disrespect. Hey, look here, nigga. I'm sorry, I called you a nigga.
I didn't mean to call you a nigga, okay, nigga?
We know you're not a nigga. You're white. But I refer to you as a nigga because you play basketball real well. Why not? I'm going to call you a nigga.
Yeah, now why don't you all join us niggas? We're all going out to eat.
Yeah. You want me to call you a big dick nigga? Will that help?
Yeah, come on. We're all going over to Niggerin' Wings.
Harrison at 13. Harrison at 13 points and 4 assists in the loss. Harrison and his twin brother, Aaron, have been projected as NBA draft picks, but didn't discuss their future after the loss. Well, it just sounds like the guy was, you know, was a little bitter for the loss.
Yeah, I guess he was. I guess he was a little bitter. Kentucky was probably the overwhelming favorite.
Yeah. You know, when you're a favorite and you lose, it's kind of hard to stomach.
Oh, that's funny that you said this guy Kaminsky, because when you watch him play, the first thing I thought of when I saw this guy was, since when did the Boston Bomber get on Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. He looks like Sharnoff.
Looked exactly like him.
By the way,
every time you saw him, he had the beard. He looked like the Boston Bomber.
Just wonder if he had a backpack with a rice cooker in it.
I know. I guess this guy's going to be definitely going to be a pro. A white 7-footer? Well, we could use a guy like that. No offense to the other, what that guy said, what the guy call him?
Yeah.
Yeah, some team's going to pick this guy up.
Well, good.
Also, he hits threes. How often do you see a 7-foot guy hitting threes?
Chris Bosh. Although he's not playing. So, what are you going to do?
Oh, he going to make the playoffs?
I don't know.
Is it coming down to the last week to decide this?
I can't believe they lost to the Detroit Pistons.
You know, I saw both games where they gave up the giant lead late in the game. And when you watch them, you go, they look like the worst team ever. Like, they don't know who to give the ball to score. And they pass it around, and then with 3 seconds left, Wade chucks it. And I go, really? Was that did Spoelstra call that play? Pass it around like you don't know what you're doing, and then give it to Wade to chuck it.
We call this play hot potato.
Yeah, what kind of play was that? And then I didn't see the Detroit game, but they said it was exactly like the game that was like two nights earlier.
Now, I don't know if it's, I'm losing concern because A, I'm not a season ticket holder officially anymore after the season. And maybe it's kind of like when if you break up with a girl, you hope that she's just ugly and doesn't come to go hang out with anybody anymore.
You hope she gets hit by a train.
Yeah. Well, that's different, but.
Yeah.
But, you know, you know they're going to be good at some point, or maybe.
You know what? They recently played the two teams that they may have to play if they make it, Cleveland and Atlanta. And it was like Atlanta was putting in the children of their stars.
Yeah.
All right, Bobby, you want to play? He's only 9 years old. That's okay. Go ahead in, Bobby.
Hey, cheerleader, go put some shorts on.
Yay! I was like, oh, my God, the Atlanta game was so lopsided. It was frightening. And then I'm reading articles. He should be great next year. Is this guy watching this team?
Well, they will be great. I mean, Bosch comes back. McRoberts will be back. You know, fucking Whiteside. The team's going to be a huge team.
It looks like you wonder if any of these guys is ever going to stay healthy. Like, here was Wade playing the best basketball of the year, and he goes out in the Cleveland game like that was it. He was done for the year with a knee injury. And then Bosch, who knows? You know, Bosch is going to sneeze, and he's going to miss half the season with another blood clot. Whiteside can't keep his fingers away from the rim. McRoberts is due back on, the Headless Horseman series.
you know how disappointed I am with the game when my wife took her mother to the Heat game on Tuesday night.
Wow. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's all right.
Happy Easter. Go ahead.
Yeah, take her. What could go wrong?
Well, you should see Easter by my pool.
Yeah.
I guess there's all these kids visiting their grandparents. And you can't imagine these kids were throwing a foot. They had to be like between 5 and 10 years old and throwing a football and watching the old people. Like, look at this. They're breaking the rules.
Yeah, they get all the old people get a little perturbed, right? They become so uncomfortable.
And then the kid's mother actually said, they're not throwing it near you. And I thought the old guy's head was just going to explode when she said that.
Is there anything more entertaining when a parent or like a middle-aged person speaks up against the elderly?
Oh.
Like, you know, I've seen that on several occasions where, you know, an old person will say something to the kids at the beach. And like a person will go, what the fuck is your problem? You know what I mean? This is a beach. I mean, I think it was at the beach. I think it was in St. Augustine. And you know, the kids are running around and they're just being, they're frolicking. The kids are frolicking, yeah, and all this kind of stuff. And the old people are like, it's like being loud, like, these kids are driving me crazy. These kids are driving, look at these kids, keep still. They're just constantly complaining, this old fuck. And finally, the wife goes, sir, this is a beach. You know, this isn't a library. This isn't a school. The kids want to have fun. Do you remember having fun?
You don't have fun when you're about to die.
Yeah, I stood up
these
and go,
people,
yes.
They live for the rules down here.
Yeah. Oh, bitters.
Is that kid wearing a diaper? The lady's like, are you? What? I? No, technically you got me on that one.
Yeah. No, I'm not. Well, go change.
when that actually happened, and you could see, I never say anything because I just never, ever say, I just don't care. So I'm sitting there, and these two kids are throwing a water football, and I go, oh, someone's going to say something. And one old guy goes, hey, it says right there on the sign, no ball playing. And the kids look up at the mother, and the mother goes, they're not playing near you. And I went, oh, why don't you just stab the old guy in the heart?
It's on, bitch.
It's on.
And the old man shut up after that?
No, he started screaming until the kids actually stopped playing.
Oh, fuddy-duddy.
Like, I'll go to the cops.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the cop calls they get in, like, Boca Raton?
Yeah.
We got a call of two kids playing in the pool.
Yeah.
Someone running. You're not supposed to run next to the pool.
Who wants to cover this?
You want to cover this one, Joe? Yeah. What happened? I shot him. He wouldn't stop running.
Yeah. Damn. No, not the kid. The old man. He wouldn't shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah, people just need to learn to, you know, people just need to learn to mind their own fucking business. I mean, sometimes things get on your nerves, like if you're on a plane, you know, you're in close quarters, kids are acting up, you know, sometimes parents don't give a shit, they just let the kids run rampant, you know? I mean, I was in a grocery store one time, this kid kept running back and forth, back and fucking forth, and, you know, he's kept running, like, into me and stuff, and, you know, and the kid was like just back and forth. I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to walk. And the kid keeps like, I'm going to run into the kid. So I said, fuck it. I'm just going to hit him with the cart.
I love doing that.
You know, hit him with the kid. The kid hits the ground. Ah! I'm like, oops, sorry.
You know, yeah, you just wait for the kid to trip.
Yeah.
Those are some of my favorites. These little kids, the other day, they actually set up plastic bowling pins and were winging this ball. And then there were no old people there, and I was just like across, and I go, I can't wait till the old people come and say something about that. Bowling? And you know, it's funny. It's only like, it definitely happens at Christmas week.
Right.
And maybe, I think that's it, like Christmas and Easter, because that's when the kids have off.
Yeah, and they come to visit the grandparents. You know, and then you know what happens? The old people show up at the condo committee meeting. You know, the Schwarzbergs, I want them out of this place. Their grandkids are a pain in the ass. Yeah. Well, you know, you don't have any kids, right? You never had any kids.
No kids.
I don't have any kids, so nobody has to worry about that.
I know. That's one thing you don't have to worry about.
Hmm.
You had a good Easter? You have a ham?
Went to the family, yeah, mom, my in-laws' house.
Ah, the in-laws.
And, you know, we had some, actually, chicken curry, red curry.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's different.
Yeah, noodles and everything. Oh, delicious food.
That's good. Do they understand Easter? Do they celebrate it? Or is it just another reason to get together?
Yeah, just another reason. You know, they've been in the States so long. Why not celebrate?
I never got a good Easter. I mean, Good Friday is the day that they nail Jesus to the cross.
What's so good about it?
Is that the worst Friday you ever had in your life?
Yeah, it didn't seem too good for Jesus.
I'd call it worst Friday. How about this? Worst Friday ever. You know, I would have called the day that he rose from the grave. That should have been, was that Sunday?
Yeah.
Was that Easter Sunday? It should have been Good Sunday and Lousy Friday.
Yeah, Easter Sunday is when he basically rises from the dead.
That's Good Sunday.
Yeah.
I'd even go one better. That's fucking amazing Sunday.
Yeah. And, you know, I was looking over that the story again about it, and they're saying that it was a huge rock, right, that was placed in front of Jesus' tomb?
Right, the big tomb.
Right. Now, my question was, there must have been enough people to move it in place in the first place. It's not like the rock was so fucking big nobody can move it, but somebody had to move it to put it in front. Couldn't the same people who put it in front had moved it out of the way and took them?
I know. They never mentioned that. You know, they just say that. They went there the next morning and the rock was moved and he was gone.
Yeah. I mean, how do we know ancient aliens, you know?
Yeah. Didn't he appear before his buddies, the disciples?
Yeah. Because that's when they went back the next day to see what happened. Right. They came to him.
Where'd he go after that?
He probably went to Disney World.
I know. I was like, well, Jesus, you just came back from the dead. Where are you going? Going to Disney World. Woo! Yeah, you know, I was watching all that. I watched the Passion of the Christ was on. The Ten Commandments was on.
Now, don't
I never
you feel...
get tired of watching the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, I know. It's a great movie. Do you feel guilty as a Jew when they killed Jesus?
I felt bad. I definitely felt bad for him.
Yeah.
Because you have to feel bad for him. You know, you're like, well, leave the guy alone. He didn't do a thing. He's penniless.
Right.
He's in a robe. You really, really going to do this? And it looks like he could have got away so many different times.
Yeah. But he knew his destiny, though.
You know, did he want to get killed? Was that the whole idea?
Yeah, he knew what he was here for.
Because if he was that powerful, you know, why couldn't he have just gotten out of that situation?
Right. Turned all those Romans into, like, ducks.
Yeah. Turned them into a pillar of salt.
Yeah. Well, that's God's trick. He didn't want to be a hack.
Yeah. Jesus, you're stealing. My favorite is in the Ten Commandments, Edward G. Robinson.
Yeah.
If you don't know who he is, he's the guy. Hey, you mugs. Look here, see? And he was in all these gangster movies in the 30s. And there he is in ancient Israel. And he's got the same voice. You know, Billy Crystal used to do the impression, but he'd be like, where's your Moses now? Meh. He used to have a cigar in his mouth. Meh, here comes Pharaoh on his horses. We're all going to die, see? And every other scene, all he does is complain, Edward G. Robinson, right up until the time that Moses throws the tablets. Like he goes, man, Moses ain't getting you out of Israel. And then on Passover, everyone gets killed, and Moses did it. He gets everyone out. And as soon as the whole movie, he's going, Moses can't do anything. Moses can't do anything. And as soon as Moses frees everyone, he's like, now we're stuck in the desert, see? I was like, Jesus Christ, he was just complaining he couldn't free anyone. Now they're finally free.
What an asshole. Yeah,
they come Pharaoh's chariots. And Moses makes a tornado of fire so they can't get him. And they go, yeah, we're all dead, see? And then when the waters open up and all the Jews go through, you think Edward G. Robinson is finally going to shut up? And he goes, now Pharaoh's going to come through the water and get us, see? Yeah. And then Moses drowns everyone.
Yeah.
And then you go, there's nothing left for Edward G. Robinson to say. Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments. And supposedly he was up there for, I don't know, either a couple of months or multiple years. It's hard to say, but he goes, well, what are we going to do? We need a golden calf now. And then Moses comes down and finally kills him.
Yeah. Has the calf. Right, doesn't the golden calf fall on him or something?
It's funny. One of the first commandments was thou shalt not kill. And Moses throws the tablets and kills like about 10,000 people.
These commandments start tomorrow.
Do you ever see the Mel Brooks one?
History of the World.
Moses has like 15 commandments on 3 tablets. And he goes, these 15 commandments. And one drops. Yeah. He goes, 10?
Classic. Hey, you're right. Hey, by the way, there was a bunch of stuff on, I guess it was Tuesday or Wednesday. in D.C. Explosions at power plant responsible for D.C. area outages.
I know. You know, when I was watching TV, the first thing you think of is terrorism.
Yeah.
That was my first gut reaction. I was like, they were like, all the lights are out in Washington. I went, here we go.
There we go. That's got to be the first thing. The White House, State Department, and areas throughout D.C. and Maryland lost power on Tuesday afternoon due to an explosion at an area power plant. Power plant went out at the White. The power went out at the White House for nearly 10 seconds while the State Department conducted its press briefing in the dark. Well, aren't they always in the dark? The Justice Department also went down. Chuck Carroll's reports, D.C. Homeland Security officials believe an explosion at the SMECO power facility in Southern Maryland caused the outages. They say there is no indication of terrorism behind the outages.
Yeah, it turns out it was nothing.
Yeah. Power was still out at the University of Maryland's campus, and University of Maryland officials say the outage could last until tonight. So light up your bongs.
Then it was baseball season, opening day.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch baseball. I watched it for about 5 minutes, and I went, what am I?
I know.
This is the most boring game. It was, compared to basketball, it's in slow motion. It's almost like it's going backwards. It's so slow.
You know, there should be a challenge. Like, which is more boring to watch, baseball or golf?
Yeah. I mean, baseball, this is what you turn on baseball. And he's really good out there. This kid's trying to pitch. He had a great offseason and fouls it off. And he's a real good pitcher. And there's the next pitch. Fouls it off. And you see five foul balls in a row, and I turned it off. I was so mad. It was like ball, foul, ball, foul, foul, ball. I go, how long am I going to sit here and watch this?
Yeah. And then they try to make it sound exciting, like, boy, he's really battling.
Battling? Are we watching the same thing?
Looks like he's swinging a little too slow to me.
Oh, man.
By the way, congratulations. A woman in Michigan is now the oldest woman alive.
What, the 116-year-old?
115-year-old Inkster woman.
Oh, is the story that she died?
I don't know. Well,
no, because I just saw a story that the 115-year-old woman died.
No. This,
maybe that's why she's the oldest now.
Yeah, yeah, could be. 115-year-old Inkster woman now listed as the world's oldest person. A 115-year-old Detroit area woman is listed as the world's oldest living person following the death of a 116-year-old Arkansas woman. Jarlene Traley of Inkster, atop a list maintained by Los Angeles-based Gerontology Research Group, which takes the world's longest living people. Gertrude Weaver, who was the oldest documented person for a few days, died on Monday. She held the title for a few days.
Put in the paper?
No.
There's a picture of the 116-year-old woman and who just died. And then the first thing I thought of, isn't it funny? Just like a guy, like before I was married, I told you I was with some questionable women.
Yeah.
I looked at this woman and I said, now that I would not do.
Well, she was 116, for God's sakes.
I know. I mean, that was, I said, there's my cutoff.
And congratulations to our black community, because both the women, I should say both, well, this woman's black. So, black don't crack.
Yeah.
Tally was born on May 23rd, 1899. In Montrose, Georgia, and moved to Michigan back in 1935. When asked for her key to longevity, she echoed previous answers to the topic. Quote, it's coming from above, she said. That's the best advice I can give you. It's not in my hands or yours.
Imagine if she said, lots of anal.
Yeah. I suck dick 3 times a day.
What? God, get the microphone away from that old lady.
Michael Kinlock, 56, of Wayne County, Canton's Township, is a GM engineer and longtime family friend of Tally's. Through their church, he said Tally's mental state is very sharp. Although she does fart when she's in the proceedings for communion.
Yeah, she farts dust.
It's unfortunate that other people passed away, but this has certainly elevated her. She's feeling no pain. She just can't get around like she used to. Tally's, whose husband died back in 1988, is cared for by a 77-year-old daughter. Can you imagine? Who lives with her. Five generations of her family live in Metro Detroit area, including her great-great-grandson, and none of them have water. In 2013, her 114th birthday drew attention of President Barack Obama, who said a personal note that she's part of an extraordinary generation.
How about them apples?
116 fucking years old.
116.
I mean, if you're that old, every day you wake up, it's got to be like, really?
Again? Well, not again.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, what's on your bucket list when you're 116 years old? Hopefully nothing.
Oh, anything you still wanted to do?
I never had a threesome. Anyway.
That kills me. Hey, they were talking about, did you hear that new cell phone battery?
No.
New aluminum battery for smartphones could be charged in a minute.
Oh.
That's absolutely insane.
Listen, I don't give a shit how quick they're charged. I just want them to last fucking longer, okay?
Yeah. Bad news is you got to charge it every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
This is amazing. U.S. scientists said they invented a cheap, long-lasting, flexible battery made of aluminum that could be charged in as little as a minute. That's going to totally, like, that could be, like, one of the biggest boosts to technology in years.
That would be great because, you know, let's face it, when your battery's dead, you know, like the worst thing for me at the show, especially at the Wise Guys show, I take photos with my camera. And usually by the end of the day, and I got to replace my camera, I'm going with the iPhone now. I'm going to move from Android to iPhone. And I sit there, and the fucking thing's dead. And then you got to plug it in, and okay, it takes forever.
Did you ever think of going, you know what? I do. I travel with another battery now.
Yeah.
I told that to Perry, a comedian, and he goes, oh, that's a great idea. The batteries are $6 for Samsung phones.
Right.
If you look at them on Amazon. And I was looking at these devices, like the portable chargers, and then you charge that. And I was like, a portable charger is like $10 to $20. Another battery, you know, I could see the benefits of a charger. Because, well, you know, if you don't have, if both batteries are dead, you're screwed. Where the portable charger could be used in a outlet, where if you have two batteries, if you don't have anything to charge it with, you're screwed.
Right. You just got to always keep one extra. I used to do that with my old, when I had the flip phone. You know, I had two batteries. I had like a...
Now, listen to this. It says the batteries, I guess the old phones have lithium ion batteries, last about 1,000 cycles. Does that mean after 1,000 times charging it, the battery's dead?
Yeah, that's typical. And you're supposed to like, you know, the old saying, like you got to wait for the battery to run completely dead before you charge it. But who, you know, that's like, you really got to be a good planner.
I never do that.
Yeah, how the fuck can you? You got like, okay, I'm going to be on the road. You know, I got to wait for the thing to fucking die before I plug it back in. The world doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Things aren't that fucking convenient. Trust me.
So that means, is the cycle count? Like, let's say I...
every time you charge it.
Let's say it's 100% charged. I take it out, and now it's 75% charged, and I plug it in again. And it goes to 100. Does that count as
yes,
one cycle?
It pretty much does. You're screwing the system.
Yeah, so it's like you're not getting the most out of it.
Right.
I knew that something was up because one of my first batteries were only lasting like a year. And I'd go, well, what am I doing wrong here? And I had a feeling that was the way it worked. Like every time you plug it in, that counts as a charge no matter how much you use it.
Yeah.
Listen to this. The new aluminum batteries have 7,500 cycles. I just hope we don't get that old before they come up with the invention for everything. Oh, it turns out you could live to like 300 and we'll be 80.
Yeah.
What?
No, not you guys.
No, like, yeah, we could live to 300, but we have to live it in 80-year-old bodies.
Yeah.
It's like, are you kidding? Exactly. No. All it takes is, cornflakes and, apple juice.
That's right.
Was that easy?
Yeah.
You can't believe they listen to this. The team at Stanford University in California made the breakthrough accidentally, discovering that graphite made a good partner to aluminum. I mean, that's how stupid it was to make one of this easily, to me, could be one of the best inventions in the last 20 years.
Really?
A battery that charges in a minute?
Even better than the artificial heart?
Yeah, that's a biggie.
I don't know if it's the last 20 years, maybe yeah. before that.
Well, the penis pump.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about how Viagra wasn't around. Do you know anyone taking Viagra?
Besides our friend Perry?
Yeah, he's the only guy I know.
Yeah. I mean, nobody
he swears by it.
Yeah. I remember, it was so funny. One time, you know, Perry took, he takes like, the, I guess this, I don't know, is it, what is it, like a generic type product?
Right.
And it was funny. One time he says, I said, let me try it and see if it fucking works. So I took it. I went to my wife. Yeah, that part works, but I had a fucking headache for like 2 days.
So you know what he told me? He, like they say that on the Viagra commercial. He goes, I take like an aspirin or an Advil before I take the Viagra.
Yeah, that's you can get in trouble, right? Isn't that a lot of blood thinning shit going on?
No, but he said he doesn't have a headache because he always takes a Viagra with an Advil. I go, boy, that's a great idea. You ever hear the warning labels on the Viagra? And you go, who cares about warning labels if your dick doesn't work and it could with a pill? You'll get a headache. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, I'll deal with it.
You say you got a headache.
Yeah. I got a headache.
It wasn't even, it was throbbing. Your penis? No, not even close.
Yeah. Crazy.
I go to my wife. What do you think? Well, every time we see the Viagra commercial with Cialis, get a free 3-day sample pack. I go, it's free. She goes, what are you trying to do to me?
Yeah, you're the last guy who needs that shit.
I figure, like, I was funny. I was talking to a couple of guys in their 60s, and I said, yeah, I'm having a great time with the wife. And he goes, that won't last forever. You know, the sex meaning.
Really?
He goes, that's going to change. You'll see. He goes, you're lucky if you can get, you know, I'm lucky if I get in like, you know, I can get it up like a couple times a week. And then I'll have to be helpful, hopefully enough, she's in the same state with me.
You mean mental?
Yeah, mental, physical.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to have sex with your wife when you're in Florida and she's in Georgia.
I know. I see these guys traveling like crazy.
Hey, by the way, here's a little story. Bees interrupt Barack Obama's storytelling as children scream.
Oh, yeah?
Watch when this is on video. Watch when President Obama's storytelling of where the wild things are was disrupted when bees caused children to start screaming. A group of unwelcome bees disrupted U.S. President Barack Obama's storytelling session for children at the launch of the White House Easter egg roll on Monday. As the president was reading from Where the Wild Things Are, bees began buzzing around the children seated in the South Lawn. Mr. Obama told the panicked children, bees are good. They won't land on you. They won't sting you. They'll be okay. The U.S. president used this year's Easter egg roll event to support First Lady Michelle Obama's Let's Move initiative to encourage children to exercise and get off their fat fucking asses.
Oh, that's hysterical.
The theme of this year's egg roll was Gimme Five, with the participants encouraged to identify five ways they plan to move, be more active and live healthier lives. So,
that's all right.
Is that a sign of the end of times?
That could be the sign of the end of times, absolutely. Well, listen, Rand Paul announced he's running.
Well.
Does this guy have any shot? The senator from Kentucky, that alone.
Yeah. You know, and that between him and Ted Cruz, you know.
It's like two idiots. It's almost obvious it's going to be Bush and Clinton. Like, I never really, I still wasn't sure Hillary Clinton's going to run. And now it's now they're saying, yeah, she's absolutely going to run. She's going to announce it in the next 2 weeks.
You think she has a chance, though, with all this shit that happened on with Benghazi and they erased the emails? Come on.
I don't know. I wonder if that matters. I really believe that, like, any party is it's almost impossible to take the White House after 8 years. I think it always switches. It didn't when after Reagan, right. You know, Bush won. But even then, I can't remember another time in history I guess, you know, it doesn't, like, think about it. How far back has it been? It always switches. I think people just get so sick of the one-sided ways. Here's Bill Clinton. I'm going to be Hillary's backstage advisor.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to be. I'll be back, all right.
I'm going to help Hillary with her back door. I mean backstage.
Absolutely. Let me go on the road. I'm going to tear that shit up.
I'm going to handle all the groupies.
Just the idea of that guy back in the White House is absurd.
Yeah, one way or the other. But this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and I'm here with Lenny.
Yeah.
And don't forget to stick around. We have a segment of You Know What I'm Saying with the Rev Bob Levy calling in. He's got a bit to say. And, of course, we'll be back with more right after this.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. It's Thursday morning. I'm here with Lenny Travis.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, this is WEI Network and IRN Internet Radio Network. We're simulcast to you. And stick around for today. Bob Levy will be joining us at the last segment for You Know What I'm Saying with the Rev Bob Levy. And again, I want to thank my good friend Steve Marshall for and Kenny Gluck for putting together the comedy kosher comedy show, which I got to participate in last week. And don't forget, this week, on Saturday night, I'll be headlining the Little Munich comedy show in West Palm Beach, run by Terry Wayne. So be sure to come out and join us in West Palm Beach at Little Munich this Saturday night. Also, guys, don't forget, I'm going to be heading to New York. I'm a finalist in the 360 Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
I'll be at Broadway Comedy Club Wednesday, the 22nd of April at 9 p.m., and, of course, I'll be at Greenwich Village Comedy Club at 7 p.m. that day on Wednesday. Come out there. And Dangerfields on Thursday. Get to hit Rodney's Club.
Nothing like going around the world in New York.
That's right. And then, of course, if you're in Rochester, Minnesota, I'll be participating in the World Series of Comedy. I'll be on the show on Friday, April 24th at 8 p.m. at Goonies Comedy Club. So come out and support, will you?
Sweet.
Yeah. Have a little fun. But anyway, going over all kinds of nonsense here, what's going on? You know, I don't know, Lenny, obviously you spend a good day reading the news and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder how you felt about this, the nuclear deal with Iran.
You know what? It's one of the stupidest things I've heard. It's almost like he announced something and everyone was half the people said it was amazing and half the people said nothing was even accomplished.
No, I'm just imagining Republicans are the ones who said nothing was accomplished.
And you know, like they agreed to have an agreement. Like I thought they were actually going to come out and show you the deal.
Yeah.
There's no deal.
Yeah, well, and what are the particulars of the deal? That's what I want to know. You know?
I mean, technically, if Iran ever used a nuclear weapon, you know, they must know that the United States would just wipe them off the planet. That's what no one ever mentions that.
I don't know if you read this recent thing in the news, too, that a military strategist on the Russian side of thing basically advised Putin that the way to get rid of the United States is drop a nuclear bomb on Yellowstone National Park.
Right. I've seen a thing about how underneath Yellowstone is like a volcano?
A mega volcano.
Yeah.
That they still think may erupt at some point. because of all the earthquakes in the central part of the country.
Sweet.
Can you imagine? And there's still a debate. Like, if it was to happen, it could just, I mean, it could fully fuck up the whole country because, you know, where are they going to grow food when there's ash everywhere?
I mean, they're talking about that could fuck up the world.
Right.
Like, it could blot out the sun for a year, and I think that's all it would take. You know, to screw the world up.
If something like that happened, how many people do you think would just off themselves? Like, how many people would actually just give up and say, fuck it, what are we going to do?
You think you could live underground for a year, like in Montana?
If I had space, are they renting space?
I think I could rent you a room.
Yeah, you got space over there?
I got a little space. No dogs, though.
No, I can't bring the dogs?
No dogs. Oh, all of a sudden, money's in charge? Yeah.
Who made you captain of this fucking boat?
Wait a minute, you're not Jewish, right?
I just did that kosher.
I can't help you.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, it's a Jewish thing. Well, yeah. That would be a thing. If I was a billionaire, wouldn't you want like an underground bunker in Montana on like 5,000 acres just in case?
Well, they have those condos they're selling out there for $1 million a pop. You know, right. Underground. Underground. And, they say in the Ozarks, they say that there's a cities being built as we speak in preparation for this.
Huh.
You know, millionaires, and it's all part of that elite group. Some may call the Illuminati or whatever, but, the elitists of the world with all the money are funding this incredible city being built in the Ozarks underground.
Right.
Out there. Some people even say that part of this water shortage in California is because of rechanneling of water through the river systems, which I think is a bunch of bullshit.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, has to be.
I can't wait for the end of the world. Can't wait.
Really?
Yeah, I could wait a little bit.
I bet you I know who doesn't give a shit. That lady was 115 years old.
Yeah, is she really going to care?
Yeah. Can you imagine being 115 years old and you see a meteorite coming like, oh, perfect timing. Hey, here's a little story. Judge says Brooklyn woman can use Facebook to serve divorce papers.
Yeah, what the hell is that all about?
I mean, you know, I wonder if Zuckerberg had this in mind when he created
Can he unfriend her?
Yeah. Does that constitute divorce?
She tried to divorce me, but I unfriended her.
That's right. Serve me the papers now. Well, I guess that's kind of the way things right. When you get served papers, you actually have to be served, you know? I remember, are you Bill Johnson? No. Oh, shit. You sure? Yeah. It's not me, is it?
Facebook is ridiculous.
Well, it says here that this is in New York, in Brooklyn. A Brooklyn woman scored a judge's approval to legally change her relationship status to single via Facebook. In a landmark ruling, Manhattan Supreme Court Justice Matthew Cooper is allowing a nurse named Eleonora Bido to serve her elusive husband with divorce papers via Facebook message. Bido, who's only 26, is granted permission to serve defendant with the divorce summons using a private message through Facebook, with her lawyer messaging Victor Sina Blood Dragu.
Hmm.
You remember him in that vampire trilogy?
Yeah, he was good in that.
Through her account. This transmittal shall be repeated by plaintiff's attorney to defendant once a week for 3 consecutive weeks or until acknowledged by her and a hard-to-find hubby. I think it's a new law and it's necessary, said Baidu's lawyer, Andrew Spinell. His client and Blood Dragzu tied the knot back in a civil ceremony back in 2009, but their relationship crumbled when Blood Dragzu kept eating people. No.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be the breakup of that?
Yeah. Reneged on his promise to have a traditional Ghanaian wedding ceremony as well. Spinell said both are from Ghana.
Oh, that's a riot.
Ghana, get a divorce. She wanted the families there, the lawyer said. As a result, the wedding was never consummated, and the husband and wife never lived together, the lawyer said. But Blood Dragu apparently still doesn't want a divorce. He kept in touch with his wife by phone and Facebook, but that was it. The last address plaintiff has for defendant is an apartment that he vacated back in 2011. Cooper said Baidu has spoken with defendant by telephone on occasion, and he was told her, and he told her that he was no, he has no fixed address. I am a wanderer. I am the wanderer. I am the wanderer. I roam around, 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 around.
Can he cancel his Facebook account so she can't serve him?
Yeah. The fucking Facebook.
She tweeted me.
Fucking cross my Facebook. Now she tweet me. What's next? My LinkedIn? Yeah, so anyway.
Here's a good one. Openly gay high school student denied right to go to prom because she wants to wear a tux.
Now, I remember in my high school, a girl wore like a man's suit.
What's wrong with that?
It's just a fashion decision, right?
Yeah. See, plus, now, who wouldn't want to see that? I would love to see that.
Why not? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I can understand if some gay guy wanted to wear like a dress.
No, that's disgusting.
And hairy legs, you know.
Yeah.
But who doesn't mind seeing a woman in a suit or a tux?
I know. She's wearing a suit.
It's kind of class. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of European looking.
You really going to tell her she can't go to the prom?
See, that's good. That's taking a little far. You know, I had spoken yesterday about this Religious Freedom Act. We've been speaking a bit about it. I've been pretty vocal about it. And, but that's going too far. Let the kids dress whatever the fucking, they're letting kids take prom pictures or taking their senior photos with a gun, with all kinds of shit. You're right. A cat, you know, fucking lightsaber. Why not let the girl wear? Why not let the girl, for God's sakes, wear a tux?
I know. Is that really the end of the world?
Come on, I think we're nitpicking here.
Openly gay teenage woman. You know how long I've looked for that on RedTube?
Yeah,
and there it is, right in front of that face.
Wow.
Ugh, wish I was in high school again.
Hmm.
Who's openly gay?
That's me sitting over here with my ass open.
I just saw the funniest line about that guy, Jason Collins. He was the openly gay NBA player.
Right. He recently just retired, right?
I'm trying to think of the comic who said it. It wasn't Dave Chappelle. He goes, how could you suck at two things? He goes, he averaged 0.04 points a game.
Wow. That guy's not scoring for a gay guy.
How could you suck at two things? What a killer line.
Hey, by the way, speaking of relationships, here's a little story. I didn't know if you're aware of this, but some celebrity couples that are involved in open relationships. Now, for those of you who don't know, an open relationship basically means that the husband or the girl, the guy, whatever, don't mind.
And they're a celebrity couple.
Yeah, celebrity couples that are open in open relationships, where that basically means if you happen to hook up, eh, okay. Celebrity couples you didn't know were in open relationships.
Let's see if I can guess real quick. I can't even think a celebrity couple. What's one
of the biggest couples in Hollywood?
It can't be Angelina Jolie.
Yep.
What?
Yeah, during their 10-year marriage, it was revealed that Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin had an open relationship. Could that be why they ended up in consequently uncoupling? It was also rumored that Ashton Kutcher and his ex-wife Demi Moore were another celeb couple with a similar relationship. Of course, they split back in 2011, and the 2.5 Men actor has happily moved on with Mila Kunis. There are quite a few other Hollywood couples who opted for open relationships, although it doesn't necessarily mean they have or will actively pursue another. That's just if they can, they will. In other words, yeah, if it happens, it happens, but we're not trying to get laid every fucking day.
Right.
Number one, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Engaged power couple Brangelina decided to raise their children together based on their love and mutual understanding of each other. The Maleficent actress has said that she doubts fidelity is absolutely essential for a relationship and that they aren't chained together, adding, quote, we make sure that we never restrict each other. It's worse to leave your partner and then talk badly about them afterwards. Despite the claims of freedom.
I mean,
The pair seemed totally devoted to each other.
I can't believe that for a second that she wouldn't go ballistic and cut Brad Pitt's dick off.
Well, I mean, listen, could you, I mean, I don't know, if I was Brad Pitt, you know, even if my wife was Angelina, you got to say, look at us, honey, come on. Really? You don't think one of us are going to get banged here and there once in a while? I mean, if a guy like me gets hit on, could you imagine being Brad Pitt? here's another couple. Megan Fox and Brian Austin Green. It seems that Megan Fox is definitely the one that wears the pants in that marriage.
She's so hot.
The OK Magazine reported recently that while the former Beverly Hills 90210 star is not allowed to touch another woman, the actress model can have any man she wants. A source told the publication they have agreed to an open relationship where Megan can see other men, but Brian can't do anyone else. Boy, he's getting a fucking bad deal. I mean, would you mind being in an open relationship with her and you couldn't fuck any other girl, but she could?
Yeah, that's impossible.
I mean, if you could be in a relationship with her where she can have sex with anybody, and you know, but you can't. Would you be in that relationship just to have Megan Fox?
Just have Megan Fox. I guess that's the thing. You know what? I guess you know what? I see the point there.
I'm wondering. See me? I mean, I don't know. This open relationship thing. You know, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, you don't want any guy munching on your girlfriend.
Well, the munching I wouldn't mind. It's the penetration that, you know, is a little hard to stomach.
I don't want to go down there and taste someone else.
Yeah.
Honey, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Oh, I was with Brad Pitt this afternoon. Yeah. Thanks for the heads up.
Here's another couple. Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah, they've been rumored to be, like, done, even.
Yeah, Will Smith and Wade's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, seem to have a relationship similar to Brad Pitt and Angelina. Amid rumors of divorce, they have also been numbered, and have been a number of reports that a couple has an open relationship. They first started dating back in 2008, these rumors started in 2008, when tabloids were claiming that the Men in Black actor said his wife could be with another man if she felt she needed to. But it seems that she's chosen not to act on that freedom, or at least not tell anybody about it. Also, Pink and Carrie Hart.
I would think, yeah, she looks like she just wants to get banged by a group of guys. She just, you know, she just looks it.
Yeah, she looks like the daughter of who is the chick? Sylvester Stallone's ex-wife. The one that was in Rocky 5 or 3, whatever.
Brigitte Nielsen?
Yeah, Brigitte Nielsen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carrie Hart, the guy, the motorcycle racer, including having a unique marriage, at least initially in 2008. The couple briefly split after 2 years before eventually rekindling their romance, according to the New York Daily News. It was because the singer was fed up with their don't ask, don't tell policy in regarding to seeing other people. Reportedly, Carrie had a particular blonde that he was taking everywhere. Even public appearances these days, it seems, they decided to nix the open door policy in the butt, if you don't mind the pun.
Yeah, I just realized, not being racist at all, but I couldn't come home and see like three black guys with my wife and her going, you know, open relationship.
I didn't want it to be that open.
Jesus. Yeah, Lenny, we knocked the back wall out of that.
Yeah, good luck putting your dick in that. Dolly Parton and Carl Thomas Dean.
No.
Whatever they're doing, it's obviously working, as the marriage between country singing legend Dolly Parton and husband Carl Thomas Dean has lasted nearly 50 years. The couple wed back in 1966, a year before I was born. Divorce rumors flying back in the early 80s. The most honored female country performer of all time hinted that she was in an open marriage. She told a crowd in Rotherham, England, "If we cheat, we don't know it. So if we do cheat, it's very good for both of us. I don't want to know if he's cheating on me and I'm cheating on him. He wouldn't want to know either."
Oh, man. I wonder what those tits look like now. What is she, in the 70s?
Oh, my God.
They got to look like a train wreck.
Rachel Ray and John Cusimano. Although they haven't officially confirmed their open relationship, celebrity chef Rachel Ray, husband John Cusimano, has been seen multiple times going into Manhattan Swingers Club Checkmate, which he describes itself as an exclusive alternative lifestyle venue for couples and single ladies. He was allegedly spotted in New York club at least six times, each time with at least one female escort. He was also seen going to CVS for a prescription of penicillin. I mean, you know, this open relationship thing, you know, I don't know. Again, if you really love somebody, I don't know, if you're with somebody so damn long, is it possible? Tilda Swinton and John Byrne, you know, John Byrne, the singer of the Talking Heads. Is that who I'm talking about? Yeah.
Is that him, Talking Heads?
Scottish actress Tilda Swinton and her partner John Byrne are raising twins together, but she declared three's company in her relationship, or perhaps it should be four. Each has a lover outside the marriage.
Jesus. Yeah, no matter what anyone says, you definitely, something in the back of your head still going to, you can't just be totally happy with that.
This should not be a shock. Number eight, Larry King and Sean Southwick. Larry King is known as on now his seventh wife.
Yeah, everything's working out for him.
Yeah, although the singer Sean Southwick has managed to last for 17 years, according to one of the TV radio host's ex-wives, Julie Alexander King, who was married to him from 1989 to 1982. Both Larry and Sean have been aware of each other's extramarital dalliances, but it's generally not an issue. So, number nine on the list of whores. Oh, God, this woman. Oh, I don't know what it is. When I see this fucking woman's face, I want to kick her in the fucking ass. Can you guess what I'm talking about?
Stephanie Siegel?
Monique and Sydney Hicks. Actress.
Is that Monique, the black chick?
Yeah. It was so funny because she was up for the lead in the TV show Empire.
Right.
And they said she was such a fucking diva during the filming of Precious that, you know, basically nobody wanted to work with her again. Huh. And whenever you hear her talk, you could tell she's a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
She talks like, you know, like she's something else. Like, I can't even stomach her. Ugh.
No, I know. I can't stand her.
Actress and stand-up comedian, best known for her role in Nikki Parker in the TV series The Parkers, has claims that she and her husband have an open relationship, but she chooses to have sex with Oreos. But she chooses only to be with him. Could it be just the way she's decided to deal with her husband Sydney Hicks' infidelity? Although she doesn't care, as the Precious star told Barbara Walters, that she and her husband have been best friends for 25 years. Boy, that guy's got the fucking deal of a lifetime.
Yeah, Jesus.
Well, you got to give the guy credit. He's fucking her. Anyway, those are your celebrities involved
That's
in open
list.
Relationships. Yeah, I don't. You know, again, I couldn't imagine that that's something that I could take. You know, at first you think, okay, great, let's do it, right? And then you find out your girl's banging better looking people than you are. You know, the woman's getting like, oh, I got 10 other guys this week, and you're like, oh, I'm still trying to hook up with the fucking waitress at Denny's.
Did you see when Michelle Obama said to Rachel Ray, well, you know, what do you want to do when the presidency's over? And she goes, I miss cruising around. It's been years since I was able to, you know, drive a car.
Really?
Yeah. What is she cruising around for?
Hmm.
She's got two kids, a presidential husband. Yeah, I'm going to cruise around.
Yeah.
What do you think I'm cruising around for? I'm looking for dick.
Yeah. I ain't looking for broccoli.
Mrs. Obama.
Well, there you go. But this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and I've been here with Lenny today.
Oh, yeah.
And stick around. We come back after the break. It'll be time for You Know What I'm Saying with the Reverend Bob Levy. So, again, thanks to Lenny for joining us. And you guys stick around for more of the show right after this.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And now, you know what I'm saying, with the Reverend Bob Levy on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
That's right. It's time for, you know what I'm saying, with the Rev Bob Levy.
I love that music.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
This is, you know, we've embarked in this radio thing, this podcast land that we're in, you know, and, you know, it's obviously the way of the future. Regular radio is dead.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all the talent is gone. Nobody wants to work on terrestrial radio anymore.
You can't trust those motherfuckers.
Yeah, I mean, that. You know, it's funny. Lenny and I actually sent in our audition tape for CBS Radio in Miami. They're looking for, you know, on-air talent. Mm-hmm. You know, and Lenny's all excited because it's a pay, you know, because it's a job.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm like, what are the chances of us getting on that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You never know. The whole thing is that, you know, we got to deal with a lot of bullshit and people that don't know the business running it. So.
Yeah, true that.
Yeah, and you don't know how long you'll be there, you know?
And that's the thing, you know, you like a guy like me, I'm not going to make all these arrangements to say, oh, I'm going to change this, I'm going to leave this, I'm going to do this, and then a month later you're like, sorry, it's not working, really?
Yeah, well, we're going in with a different format now. Go fuck yourself. How about that format?
Yeah.
How about you suck my dick for an hour, and then I'll do the news? You know, really.
And that would be news.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's why I like to do what I do, you know, I'm fucking sit here, I got my studio, fucking do what I want, and people love it, so fuck everyone.
That's right. By the way, we were on the show last night, my call-in, I was honored to be considered an expert in Asian women.
Yeah, well, that's tonight's show, you'll be on, and you are an expert on Asian women because you married one, so I had no other fucking choice. Who else was I going to call?
Oh, so there wasn't like a bevy of people. There was just me.
Yeah, yeah. You were basically number one, so feel good about yourself, you prick. You know?
I came in first place out of a pool of one.
Yeah, but you were still number one. You got to understand that. You know, it's not like, you know, I go, hey, let me make a few calls. I was like, oh, I got the guy. You know?
Yeah, I fit in there.
Yeah, locked it right in, motherfucker.
That's nice. Hey, by the way, I want to share this experience with you. Me and my good friend Steve Marshall.
Yes.
The other night, we drove all the way to Orlando, and I was a little nervous because they had me participate. I was featuring for him at a kosher comedy show.
Oh, that sounds fucking like you got paid a lot.
Yeah, I actually got great. You know, I was supposed to only do 15 minutes, so I was a little nervous. I'm like, okay, I got to do family clean.
Yeah.
For 15 minutes, and I'm like,
you can do it.
Yeah, but you know, when you don't do it, you start getting concerned about it, and then, of course, then we get there, and it's family clean for a pat like a Jewish group. They turned out to be all Hasidic Jews, and you know, but I was a hit. The kids, all these kids in the front, were laughing. I mean, they wanted my autograph after the show. It was great.
So they were also retarded.
Yeah,
but it's weird. It's like you're almost doing it for a fucking gang, right? When you see them all dressed up.
Oh man, it was. But let me tell you, they had this big shindig at the Hyatt Regency in Orlando.
Did you just say shindig? What fucking year is this?
Listen, I can use whatever verbiage I want. Okay, I'm an old soul. You know, I could be an old soul. You know, I got enough people. You know, what would you prefer? The gig. The, you know, modern-day guy like you?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I was gigging.
So I ended up, that was weird part. I ended up doing 25 minutes. And, you know, it's funny how you're worried about doing this much time, and you end up getting up there, and it just flows. And you know, the thing I'm excited about is now, you know, if somebody says, Dougie, can you work clean? I'm like, dude, I did 25 minutes at a Hasidic Jew family center, you know.
You really hung on that Jew word a long time. You noticed that? You'll
Did
hear
I?
It on the tape.
Did I? Yeah.
A Hasidic Jew thing.
Yeah, I was the only Jewish guy on the show, or not Jewish guy on the show.
Yeah.
Or I should say...
I make believe you are. You know, you should have been Dougie fucking Goldberg.
Dougie Almeida-Steen.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, they know how to party. They took up this whole, like, Orlando, this whole... almost like a whole floor of this Orlando Convention Center at this hotel, and the food was great. I didn't realize how good kosher food was. You know, I mean, I'm not going to push many dishes away. You know, and they had this area. You walk in this other area, they had free booze. They had, you know, all this dessert stuff, like a whole place. They called it the tea room. So it's like little black and white cookies and chocolate covered shit. And oh, it was awesome.
You can't beat when the Jews throw a party. They throw a fucking party. Let me tell you something.
That's right.
They say Jews are cheap. No, you go to a fucking Jewish wedding or a party, forget about it. They go all out.
That's right. Great group of people, a lot of love, felt the love, and it was awesome. And again, thanks to Steve Marshall. And by the way, for those of you guys who don't know, I'm going to be in New York at the end of this month, Bob.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm in the finals of the 360 Comedy Festival at Broadway Comedy Club on Wednesday, the 22nd of April.
Oh, nice.
So if you're in New York City, come support me at the Broadway Comedy Club at 9 o'clock.
Great place.
It's a great room. And here's the thing. I was actually talking to Al Martin, and he just posted, I don't know if you had seen this, if you should go look at it, but Sarah Silverman, the comedian,
yeah,
she posted a video on whatever, YouTube, whatever the hell it was, kind of dissing Al Martin for something that happened about 15 years ago. I guess the story was based on her perspective that her and Todd Barry were out on the comedy scene in New York trying to get some stage time.
Yeah.
And that they had gone to Broadway Comedy Club, and they both did the same amount of time back to back. Todd Barry got $60, and Al only paid her $10.
Well, that's what it is. You're a woman. What do you want? Jesus fucking Christ. It was before you were sucking Jimmy Kimmel's dick, all right? So take it easy.
Well, I don't think you're helping Al's case here, but no. You know, the truth of the matter is, and Al came out and posted something, is that, first of all, Todd Barry had a spot. He had a paid spot on that show.
And you came as a, and he gave her 10 out of goodness of his heart.
Right, exactly. Like, who else gets $10 to do a guest spot? But guest spots aren't paid.
Guest spots don't get paid in the city. That's the truth.
No. And, you know, she came and asked for the time. He gave her the spot.
I bet you she has a big fucking hairy bush.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, it's fucking huge. Like fucking monkeys swinging from it and shit.
It's got like a tree house in it.
Oh, fuck. Three kids in it. Fucking, you know what I mean? Drawing fucking bananas to the monkeys. They swing by a twat.
We're thinking about filming the next Tarzan revision in your pussy.
Yeah. So what happened with her?
So she mouthed off, and you know, in this video, she calls him out, and you know, this kind of stuff, and which is bullshit. You know, why are you gonna? First of all, it's not true. You know, why would you do that? You know, unless
she's just trying to make a name for herself.
Now, do you think that seems to be something that's rampant in the comedy community? Like you had the situation with Ari Shahri, whatever that guy was.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Remember that story that he called out the one-armed comedian chick and said her fat smelled, and you know.
Well, I think the bit would have been funny if he didn't use her name. You can't use somebody's name, and Comedy Central is probably going to get sued over this unless this is the biggest setup ever, and he's trying to make her a star. Because Ari's a genius, actually. Yeah. So I don't know which way it is.
That's the question. Like, would I have mind if a nationally known comic, you know, went out there, just happened to bring me up, oh, I work with this guy, and he fucking blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, would it be good? Bad press is good press, right?
Yeah, basically in this business, you know what I mean? The worse, the better now, it seems, you know? I am probably going to beat the fuck out of me and call it a racial assault and get in the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what sells, you know what I mean?
I was jerking off the other day, and I started beating the crap out of my dick because it makes me feel like I'm gay because I'm playing with my own penis.
Exactly.
It's a hate crime.
Like I said, you know, some fucking broad, you know, my dick was really sore, you know, and I asked my dick why, and he goes, some girl gave it a bad mouthing. You know what I mean? So that's on my Twitter. So fucking, you know, it'll come after me 3 years from now when I get my talk show. Fucking everybody's worried about what do people say. Shut the fuck up. It's what you do. I do a lot of good. Go fuck yourself. You get in my fucking way, I'll fucking knock you over.
Why is it that people, you know, as a comic, we should be held to a different standard? It's not like we're, you know, peacekeepers or politicians. You should expect the unexpected.
Well, that's basically the way I look at it. I do what I want, and if you don't like it, you know what I mean? It's a long line, and it says, to suck Bob's dick, stand here. And really, I couldn't give a fuck, you know? I don't care if I'm the biggest star tomorrow or I'm just making a living at it and enjoying what I do. I'm happy.
You got to love what you do. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's the key to life. I mean, look at people that have to fucking, you know, bust their balls every fucking day, 10 hours a day, fucking digging ditches, man, you know? And they got two jobs to support their fucking family. And fucking all these little fucking people are on the news crying, oh, every time they do a black joke, it affects black people in this world. Yeah, please, come on.
Let me ask you this. We had a big topic on yesterday's show. We debated this Religious Freedom Act,
mm-hmm.
you know, how the laws are basically they want to be passed so that if a business does not want to serve a gay couple or a gay couple because of their religious beliefs, that they should not be sued because of this. Now, let me ask you the question. Do you consider a person's sexual preference the same as their religion, their race, or creed?
It's racist, dude. And no matter what, it's racist. It's a belief of what they believe, okay? And if people want to be gay, that doesn't make them non-human. And it's racism. And this country is supposed to be not about racism, but you're going to let fucking gay people and lesbian people fucking get trounced on for some reason.
Yeah, but do you really think that the religious community is going to start trouncing on gay people? Do you actually think it's that big of a population that it's anything to worry about? I mean, I bet you if you took 1,000 businesses, less than a fraction of a percent would even be in the realm of holding that up and using that law.
You got to be real fucking racist to say no to the money.
That's what I'm saying. And here's my point. Listen, if I have a business, I catered as a financial advisor. I had many gay clients. They had a lot of money. You know, if whatever I believe about homosexuality deep in my religious beliefs, it does not affect, you know, how I work with people. You know, I have things against other people for many other reasons that are more appropriate than their choice of lifestyle.
Yeah,
right?
I don't give a shit what anybody does in the bedroom. You know what I mean? As long as, you know, I'm not in the middle of it.
Exactly. Don't poke me with that thing. Now, my thing is, though, as a person of faith, I think it's the right. If somebody feels that strongly about it, that they're really against that way of life, that they should not be sued
it's racism. If you look at it that way,
it can't be racism. It's sexuality. It's a choice. That's a difference. Racism. I'm not going to work with that guy because he's black. That's racist.
Yeah, I'm not going to work with that guy because he's gay. That's racism.
Right. Well, there's a difference. The religious people think it's a sin.
It's a sin.
That's
so,
why.
So fucking racist thinks it's a sin to work with a black person. So fucking it's racism. No matter what, it's fucking racism against a certain group of people, and you can't fucking argue it. I don't care what the Bible fucking says. It's the way that this fucking country is supposed to be run, and it's not run the right way.
Yeah. All right. Do you believe in heaven and hell, Bob?
Yes, I believe on both.
Yeah. You think heaven and hell's on earth?
Yeah, totally is. I do believe that this is just a testing ground, and then, you know what I mean? And then you go to, like, something else, and you're like, what the fuck was that? We had to do to get here. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's just like a stepping stone, right? Like,
yeah, once you get past it, I just want to see, you know, how you can handle it, you know?
And depending how you handle it, you know, it depends on what your next stage is.
Yes, yes.
Right? Like, the people who are always, like, think about that. Like, you know what? It should be funny where, you know, like, sometimes I walk around during my daily activities, like Terminator. You remember the Terminator? He had Target, you know, domicile, whatever, all these things would pop up, you know.
Under Ruzon. Yeah, go ahead.
And sometimes you look at people and you think, you know, deviant, you know, loser. You label people when you walk down the streets? You sum up people?
Nope. No. I judge people the way that they treat me, you know, as I treat them.
So until they speak or there's some sort of interaction, you're leaving it up.
It's totally open, dude. Whether you're fucking skinny or you're dark, I mean, if you're large, if you're anything, it doesn't matter. It's when you fucking open your mouth and you act like an asshole, you become an asshole.
So let me ask you this: do you trust people until they earn your distrust, or you not trust people and then hopefully begin to learn to trust them?
I used to do the first. Now I do the second. You know, but I don't look at it that way. People don't realize I'm a lot smarter than them. And basically, I let them make their mistakes. Yeah. You let the person talk and let them dig their own hole, and they'll come back with the same, you know, if they come back with the same story, they're telling the truth. If they come back with a different story next time, they're full of shit. So you say, fuck you, I don't need you.
I don't know if you heard about the story about the guy who, the player from Kentucky, who was overheard whispering, fuck that nigga, talking about the white kid on Wisconsin. Question is it racist if a black man calls a white man a nigger?
I think if you're going to use the fucking word, it has to be, you know, look, I don't have a word because I'm white. You know, I don't have a word that only I can say. I mean, you got to grow the fuck up. That's what it is. It's stop bitching about everybody. The only one that holds somebody down is yourself.
Right.
And that's the whole fucking key to life. You know what I mean? I'm not going to blame anybody unless they fuck me over, really. You know, but no, there's so many successful black people out there that, you know, you don't see them on TV because they don't want it. They're afraid to go on TV, you know?
Right.
You know, you need a fucking real leader, not Reverend Al Sharpton and his fucking greasy fucking hair. You know, you need somebody that can speak their mind and go to schools and teach people, like Charles Barkley, who's a fucking smart guy.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. But the motherfucker is a fucking bright man when it comes to race shit.
Yeah, he was. He got some heat when he came out and spoke out about in Ferguson that he felt that the kid was wrong.
Hey, what the fuck? The kid fucking pushed. Do you think he was fixing his tie? The fucking kid robbed something, tried to push him over. Then he went for a cop's gun. I mean, look, you cannot deny the facts. That's what it is. When people are blind and they deny the facts, that's what pisses me off, you know? I know some black kids get killed for no reason. Yeah, there should be trials. There should always be a trial when something with an officer, you know, just to make everybody happy. There should be a trial. And that would change a lot of things. But then when the trial's up, what happens? There's still a riot because the cameras come. Hey, let's get down to CNN. Let's go. Let's pile everyone
in
there.
That's why I would disagree with you. I think that the law has to be the same way. Like, I think that the media on two different occasions caused a trial with George Zimmerman and with this kid. You know, and I think more clear cut in this last case in Ferguson that if there was no racial bias in there, there wouldn't have been a trial because most people would have looked at it and go, look, the kid was a thug. He attacked the cop. You know, the cop was doing his job and the guy got shot. End of story.
Yeah. I mean,
just another case. Is it a black and white issue? Well, yeah. If somebody tries to instill that, listen, there is racism. You know, we know today that cops, you know, there's a breed of cops that, you know, or they've taken that. They got that Napoleonic complex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where they're a badass with a badge. Sometimes
It's like that in every job. You understand?
But here's the thing. Isn't it a case where, you know, unfortunately, you know, sometimes people act the way they do? Like the old story, like stereotypes weren't just made up. Stereotypes weren't just said, oh, this sounds good, let's do this. Yeah. Stereotypes developed over, it seems like, over many years of some sort of consistent majority actions.
And it was years ago, too, I think. You know, most of them are, you know, like people go, oh, black people like chicken. I fucking love chicken. People like watermelon. I fucking love watermelon. I'm a nigger.
Well, now, why wouldn't, exactly, why is that? Like, who doesn't like chicken? Okay, you got vegans, okay, and people like that. But who doesn't like fucking chicken?
Exactly. Like, you know what I mean? Jews are cheap. Maybe they were cheap when they came over, but.
Maybe,
you know,
they were.
Yeah, when they came over, you know.
And something's changed.
Yeah, but when you get to, there's different, you know, in every group there's different classes of, you know.
The bottom line is, in philosophy we learned, is 100% is
Wait,
not...
let me do my Nancy Grace.
The bottom line is that we have a dead girl here.
Okay, go on. She cuts everybody off the fucking gallon.
All I know is the girl's dead.
That woman looks like she got hit in the face with a 2x4.
It's unbelievable. You know what I mean?
Now, that's the problem. I think, here's the thing. I think a lot of people have been stupefied. They watch these types of shows. They, you know, they don't have any beliefs themselves. They just listen to somebody else and go, yes, that's the way I want to think. And they never really look into something to develop their own true feeling on the matter.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that happens.
Listen, I'm not the kind of guy. Listen, some stereotypes, they're funny. They're this. They are what they are. They're stereotypes. They're, now, whether if you live your life based on a stereotype, then you are either racist or an asshole, right? Like, yeah. If you think, I'm going to judge this person because of this preconceived condition or thought I have. But I can assure you, if I'm walking down the street and a young man dressed poorly.
Here he comes just a walking down the street saying, doggone me. He's real fat. He's kind of heavy. Everybody knows he's right. Go ahead.
All right. You done there, fucking.
Sorry.
Elton John.
Thank you.
So, and by the way, I'm losing weight. I got my 30-year high school reunion coming up, so I've been going to the gym.
Oh, good. This sounds like a fucking Kevin James episode on Kings of Queens.
It's funny you should say that, because last night, the other night at the Kosher Comedy Show, God bless this one kid, he goes, you're so funny, you know who you remind me of? You remind me of Kevin James. I go, thanks, kid.
Did you fall over?
Yeah.
I want to count. Okay, let's do a thing, because... I seen the first Mall Cop with my son.
Right.
Me and him, they got a private screening here for us, right?
Right.
He falls a lot, okay?
Yes.
Now, second one, let's take a bet on how many times he falls during the movie.
Over, under on the falls?
Okay, yeah. I'm going to say 38.
38.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to set that number?
Yeah. The closest to it wins. Now, you can go over, too. It can go over.
Right.
No fucking Wheel of Fortune. I mean, no fucking Price is
Price
Right.
Price is Right, yeah. 38, huh?
Don't fucking say 37 and do that fucking Price is Right bullshit on me. Or don't say $1.
Yeah, $1.
No.
Yes.
No.
I got it somewhere in that range.
No, he falls already twice in the movie.
I've already seen him. There's a few times I saw him hit. Now, each scene, so if he hits the ground, falls, and gets back up, that counts multiple times, right?
Yes.
All right.
Anytime that he actually hits into something and bounces back or anything like that.
No, he's got to hit the ground.
No, he doesn't have to hit the ground. He has to be either hit something or flying.
Wait a minute.
I'm talking about if he, okay, he doesn't have to hit the ground. If the horse kicks him and kicks him into the car and he doesn't fall, that counts.
All right. So we're not just counting how many times he falls. We're counting how many times he crashes into the floor or something.
Yes.
All right.
38.
And I can't just do over under, huh?
No, what the fuck? This ain't Vegas, motherfucker.
Well, you know, I mean, that's ridiculous because...
You pick a number. I pick the fucking number. You know, you don't see me fucking looking at the odds in Vegas of what it is.
Hold on a second. I'm looking it up. Bart Mall Cop just says whether the movie will fail or go do well. I'm going to go a little lower. I feel like this is card sharks. I think that I think it's going to be a little lower. I'm going to say 30.
You see, that's bullshit.
Why? You said 38. There's eight points of difference. 8 points of difference on 30, right? About 30 something percent difference. That's a
whatever, Mr. Fucking Numbers, Mr. I do money for gay people. All right, calm the fuck down.
They have the cash.
Oh, I fucking Jewish kids love money. They make me sign stuff. Yeah, it was their fucking checks. You fucking idiot. Now you owe money.
Another kid came up to me after I was sitting there while Steve Marshall and I think you know the guy. Now I'm going to forget his name.
The guy with the ears.
The guy who put it together. Now I'm blanking. The guy, Buck, I'm trying to remember his name now. Any rate, they're schmoozing, and I'm getting tired. It was like midnight already. We were there a long time. I didn't get home till like 4 in the morning on Tuesday morning.
Get my fucking violin on my shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm sitting there, and this one skinny kid comes up and goes, you're very funny. I knew you were going to be funny when he put his hands out like he had a big belly. I knew you were going to be funny because you're... I'm like, what? I'm a fucking, I'm Chubby Checker?
Yeah.
He says, no, yo. He goes, I had a friend who was very, he was chubby, you know. He was funny. He was always funny. And then he lost weight. He wasn't funny anymore.
Doug, I got an idea.
Yeah?
You open up a place called Chubby Cheese.
Chubby Cheese?
Yeah. You do comedy there, and you fucking feed kids.
Chuckles Chubby Cheese.
Hey, tell that motherfucker to book me at that club. I want to do that club. Not the one where the fucking the house manager is the MC. The other one. Remember the guy wanted me in there, but it was too late?
Oh, at Homefield.
Yeah, whatever the fuck it is.
Did you ever speak to them over there at Funny Business since then?
No. Can you do it for me? Can you do me fucking throw me a fucking bone, you fucking jewel lover?
I'm going to throw you a bone.
You're going to throw me a fucking bone. How about that?
All right. Well, I thought I've thrown you bones. I thought I've gotten you gigs. I think I've set up some gigs for you in the past. How many gigs have you set up for me, paying gigs? How many times did I open for you and said, hey, I want this guy to open for me, and I want him to get paid?
Listen to me. I'm not a fucking booking motherfucker. I come in there to fucking make your room shine and make you look good, okay? Let me tell you something. I make you look good. They fucking polish your forehead after the fucking show when I'm fucking done because I blow out the fucking room. I blow it up. They got to put them, and they got roofers on hand.
Well, I'll have to reach out to those guys. I guess Florentine's going to be there in May.
Oh, great, yeah.
Or June, something like that. And so I'll talk to him. Those guys should have reached out. By the way, I did mention your name when I met Jay Leno. I go, hey, you remember my friend Bob Levy met you at, I think it was, didn't you meet him at the Borgata?
Yes.
Yeah, he thought it was Caesar's Palace.
Okay.
And I'm like, no, you're wrong there, Jay.
Well, you know, Jay's everywhere, but he does remember me, so.
Yeah, he remembered.
Yeah, I'm doing a few shows with John Melendez, him, and going out.
Now, have you seen him do stand-up? I've never seen Stuttering John do stand-up.
A long time ago when he started, so he's been doing it a long time, you know, so he had like 15 minutes then. I'm sure he's got like 45 to an hour now.
Yeah, I actually asked Jay, somebody asked Jay if he ever spoke to him anymore. He goes, no, I haven't spoken to him in quite a while.
What?
Jay Leno had mentioned, someone asked Jay Leno when I met him that day, they go, hey, have you spoke to John Melendez, Stuttering John, in a while? I was like, no, I haven't seen him in a while, no.
No, he talked to somebody, I haven't seen him in a while. Yeah, him and Jay had a good relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to ask him if him and, what's his name, really didn't get along.
Who?
You guys have that in common. You both don't get along with old Mr. Stern.
They'll never get along. You know, it's not Jay doesn't give a fuck, you know?
Right.
I think I actually asked him. And he goes, what am I going to do? Fucking worry about, like, you know what I mean? It was like an answer, like, you know, what am I, who cares, you know?
Sure.
It was more like that. You know, why you put your energy into it?
Well, that's true. It's ridiculous.
Know, that's basically what he was saying.
Yeah.
He was a nice guy. I don't know. He's nice to me, so that's the way I look at people.
Where you got coming up? Where are you going to be? Any gigs coming up? Going to be traveling? No, by the way, how was Funny? What was it? The Funny Stop in Cuyahoga, Ohio. Weren't you there last week or week before?
Yeah, excellent, man. Excellent. Pretty packed almost every show.
Yeah.
Every show, fucking great club.
I love when I reach out to Pete and I speak to him. He goes, yeah. I ask him a question. He'll go, yes, of course. I'm like, well, the fuck answer is that?
Well, you know, Pete's a little different, you know?
Right.
That's how Pete is.
We're supposed to get me and Frank Del Pizzo there, but I don't think Frank was, wasn't sure if Frank, the money situation was working. I don't know what the details.
The motherfucker wants this much money. I got to get the Pearly Shaw coming to do this for this and this fucking. But what about my friend? Fuck him too. He don't come no more now.
Who, me?
Yeah, I swear to God, that's what he said. When Pete's on a roll, you know. That's the guy that comes with Frank. Fuck, he wants all this fucking money. Nobody know who he is. Fuck him. And I go, but what about Doug? Fuck him too. Like, holy shit, maybe I'll ask him next time.
Dude, next time you're there, just have me open. I don't give a fuck about it. I don't care about it. I'll stay there. I don't care. You know, one of the benefits for me is the money in comedy, and anybody booking shouldn't hear this, but the money in comedy is second to me. It's not, to me, it's the stage time.
Yeah, no, it's the whole thing about you getting in the club and proving yourself, and I know you will there. You know what I mean? Yeah, so I will, okay? I'm supposed to go back in January.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Let's go to fucking Cleveland, Ohio in January.
Well, fucking sorry you live in Florida, you lizard-loving cocksucker.
Yeah, well, the lizards are fucking warm, okay?
And how's your fucking blind dog doing? I miss him.
Yeah, she's matter of fact, she's standing in the corner right now, looking at the wall.
She can still see because I did a test on her.
No, she can't see. Trust me,
dude. I did the test with my fingers next to her, and she was able to know when it. And she looked over.
Listen,
she can slightly see.
That dog's ears can pick up cable. Okay, it has nothing to do with seeing. When you're moving your hand and it's shaking in the air, she can hear it.
How can it pick up cable when all you do is watch the fucking stock market all fucking day?
That's a cable channel.
Yeah, and it doesn't change. So how would it fucking know if anything happened in that fucking house? The fucking remote had fucking cobwebs on it. Change the fucking channel.
Yeah, that's my life. That's why I don't have to worry about how much I get paid.
You shouldn't jerk off to it, you sick fuck.
I know. Oh, the numbers are green. Let's go. Everything's moving up. Everything's moving up.
Hey, I'm in the money. You're a sick motherfucker. That's your problem.
No, listen. The market is my friend.
All right. Okay.
And that's the way it goes. And by the way, those of you who are listening, I don't want to give stock advice on a radio show, but you definitely want to start watching the energy stocks.
I thought you were going to talk about Lenny Travis's act. I'm kidding. Well, I mean, why would Bob say that? I mean, really, I mean, there's no reason, but that came out of nowhere, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Bob said, what? Dude, that's amazing.
I've been doing stock.
Yeah, Lenny's big into stock, you know? He's, dude, you can't believe this fucking Apple stock moves from $100. Yeah, what are you going to do? Now you don't have a Here's let me ask you this: you've been to comedy. Do you have a retirement account?
Yeah, it's called fucking debt, you asshole.
Yeah,
yeah. When I die, everybody's fucking rich around me, so that's it. I don't give a fuck about.
You have
me.
Life insurance? You're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice coverage. Term.
Yeah.
Cash?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's enough to fucking shut it the fuck up.
Yeah. And everything's going all right with the house, you know, with the kids, the family, the wife.
Yeah, everything's fucking.
She's still living there. She's still back at the house, and
yeah, she's in Dallas now. She's had to go there for a fucking. You know, all the big top people had to go out there for no reason,
right?
You know. So, and I want to come back in the fall, you fucker. So let me know. And talk to the other club. We start with the weekend. I love doing the weeknight ones. I love those clubs. I did.
You know what I will do? What I'll do is I'll talk to those guys about what I'll do is I'll say, look, why don't we look at booking Bob at Homefield, which is in Miami.
Yeah, in like September, you know? And I got fucking Sid there. He'll put me on the radio all fucking week. You know him.
And if you're on there, you'll actually be on the Paul and Young Ron show because there are sponsors on that show.
Yeah.
So again, I'll be on that. But I'll reach out and see if we can do a double booking. I'll be your opener. And
God damn it. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, I know many people today don't want me opening for them. You know, that's the good thing.
You see me? I don't care. I want the best people in front of me because it makes me fucking just go and fucking do it more. You know, that's the whole thing.
That's it. I mean, at a lot of my comedy mentors and friends, you and Steve Marshall, two of the strongest comics I've ever seen, you know, crush a room.
I fucking once lifted a room and threw it into the next neighborhood. So I can get more money. Dude.
It's Bobzilla. It's Bobzilla.
Yeah. No, it's true. You want somebody strong in front of you. You don't want to go up to a fucking audience and go, you know, when the audience, okay, when the two guys suck before me, you know what my opening line is?
What?
And I have to do it. Break the ice. I go, folks, even I want my money back. I have to, you know, there's nothing I can do at that. You know, they're just staring at me like, what the fuck did I just see? And I'm like, what the fuck did I just see?
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, as a comic, I would tell you that sometimes if someone's so bad, the room is so down, like it's tough to get them back.
Well, it's, you know, you get them back, but it's just like fucking, you gotta make light of it. You have to.
Yeah. We had a conversation about this here on the show last week, how, I guess here in South Florida, this happened in Tampa. It was an open mic. It wasn't even a book show in a sense, but in an open mic, a well-known veteran comic followed two open micers who were terrible. And he basically went up there and go, boy, that guy sucks. And another comic kind of got mad at the guy and called him out on Facebook.
Whoa.
Yeah. Which I was like,
On Facebook?
You know, this was my thought was this is just a guy trying to, like, get attention by calling some other dude out.
But, well, you don't say they suck, you know what I mean? I would never say that. I would just say, you know, fucking, I want my money back, you know? But it's usually people I know I work with. That's what it is. You know, I would never do that, you know what I mean? I'd be like, come on, those guys are funny. You weren't laughing if I didn't know them, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
But if they're friends of mine, yeah, I'm fucking gonna make fun of them. Of course I am.
And as a comic, if you have a if you're really in this business and you have a bad show, right? If you ever have a bad show or bad set,
what's that like?
I couldn't tell you, but you have to own it. You just have to own it. Sometimes it fucking happens.
No,
you
know? I don't know, but that's what I hear.
Yeah. Well.
You know, but I do. I want to come back in September. Set this shit up.
Well,
goddamn.
I'll do that. I'll reach out to the Oders and see if we can get that set up for September. How's that?
You know what I mean? Because the more I do the local things, the bigger the audiences are going to be. You know what I mean?
So we could do a
big enough spread.
They want you back at Starlight Lounge, that place we did on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday. And then if not, we definitely got some new connections in Miami with a Friday and Sunday night room.
Friday, I had a lot of my fans there. It was the most English show there, U.S. Hanlon.
I know, exactly. You had your own peeps, which was great.
Yeah, which didn't hit the bonus. Fucking packed, can't believe.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. I had a great time, and they're good people.
Well, there you go. But this has been the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
It sure was.
That's right. And don't forget to pull up and subscribe to Bob Levy Radio Show. Which is on, you're on the,
if you go to RevBobLevy.com, you can go on Podomatic, you can use iTunes, you can use Stitcher. And I just got the thing for, I'm on Stitcher on my phone.
Right.
And I got the wire that goes from my phone into my car and it comes on the radio.
Yeah, I got to get that too because it sounds like shit when I'm trying to listen for my speakerphone.
But, yeah, and you got it like laying on your neck, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. You got it in your top pocket in your shirt.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. But you got to get it. Stitcher's are great. We're on Stitcher as well. It's a free app. Download it to any smart device and by the way, you can also catch Bob's radio show as it airs here on IRN Internet Radio Network. We're also on.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. And of course, you know, we're excited to have you in that network. And people say, hey, what'd you have to do? I said, look, I didn't do nothing, you know, but the Mike Peter, the guy who runs the IRN, you know, he asked me, he goes, hey, what do you think of Bob's show? Should we get it? I go, fuck yeah, get it on here. What are you kidding me? Let's do this
fantastic.
Shit.
Fantastic. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and I won 10%. So.
You got it.
All right.
Give you 20.
But thanks again for Bob Levy for joining us. Follow him at the Rev Bob Levy on Twitter. And
That's right.
Go to RevBobLevy.com for his dates coming up and all that good shit.
And more to come.
That's right. And don't forget to follow our show at Wake Up Dougie. You can follow me at Dougie Dangerous. Join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Go to wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com for all our episodes, over 350 episodes for you to choose from. Thanks again for listening. And tomorrow, there's no show tomorrow. There's a show tomorrow, Thursday. Don't forget, Friday's Best Of on IRN Internet Radio Networks. Our Best Of will come on Friday.
Nice.
There you go, guys. Thanks again. We'll be back next week with all new shows right here at the same spot.
We're out of here.